Okay, so we're starting a new series. We just went through Jonah and Nahum, and now we're back in the New Testament. I like to go back and forth, and this is what we're going to be doing. I titled this sermon series, Better Than, because we're going to be seeing how the writer of Hebrews portrays Jesus better than anything else. Okay, it's never Jesus and, it's always Jesus is better than. So we're going to be looking at Hebrews in probably the rest of the year. So this will be fun. Next slide. An introduction to Hebrews. So who is the author? Kids, this is your first question. Who is the author of Hebrews? I'm sure you guys are all wondering who it is. We don't know, right?
We can have a vote.
We can have a vote. We don't want the church to split this morning here, but it is one of those things over the years many people have wondered who wrote Hebrews. Ultimately, it doesn't matter, right? We know that the Lord inspired the writer to speak this to the people, and his message is what matters, not necessarily who wrote it, okay? Sometimes that can be helpful, knowing who the author is and things like that, but it does not matter. Mira. Okay, if you're going to get technical, just circle Jesus with the we don't know part. But good catch. Boy, I got to be careful how I write those questions now. Yeah. All right, so who are the original recipients? This would have been Jewish Christians that the author knew personally. So in chapter 10, verse 34, and chapter 13, 19, he addresses that he knows the recipients personally, okay? When was this written? Most scholars suggest it was between 63 and 65 AD. So this is right before the destruction of the temple. This was during the time where Christians were, what are we doing here, right? All right, and why? Why did the author write this book? To remind readers of how blessed they are to trust in Christ, be impressed with Christ being better than people and things of old, and warning his readers or her readers of the danger of apostasy and their need for steadfast faith. Okay? That's what we're going to keep in mind as we keep going forward. So one thing, I have a friend, he describes Hebrews in this way. So next slide. I have a picture of a woman here crying. So what we're going to do, he explains it like this. Imagine a man going on a trip, okay? He's flying in an airplane, and the plane crashes. And the news is, we don't know if there's any survivors, okay? So this woman is grieving, and she has a picture of her husband, and she has one of his shirts that he wore, and she smells his shirt, she remembers him, she looks at his picture. And these are all things that are normal in the grieving process, right? But let's just imagine a few months later, he's rescued and he comes home. Next slide. He comes home and he buys a nice steak for dinner, buys nice flowers. He's coming home and he's going to say, "Honey, I'm here. You don't have to grieve anymore. I'm here." And he's calling her from the kitchen, and she's in her room crying yet. And she just stays in her room looking at his picture, smelling his shirt, when he's right in the room next to her. Okay, so that's what this is like. The author of Hebrews is basically saying, you guys, you're so tempted to keep looking at that picture and clinging on and smelling that shirt when the real person who came is right here. Don't miss it. Don't be tempted to go back to these old things. He's right here. Does that make sense? So that's one way a friend of mine describes Hebrews. And this is going to be really good. Next slide, main sections of study. We're going to be looking at the superiority of Christ, the superiority of the new covenant, and the exhortations drawn from these superiorities. So what are we to do with Jesus being better and the covenant that he brings being better? What are we to do with that? You guys with me? Kids, you with me? Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right. So if you turn with me to the book of Hebrews, next slide. Hebrews chapter 1. And just to start out, we're only going to be looking at verses 1 through 3 today. Okay? So, let's read through this. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And we're going to stop right there. Okay? So next slide. God's spokesman long ago. So long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. Okay? When was long ago? Before Christ, that's a great answer, right? But we need to know, what is long ago? What are we talking about? What's the time frame? And Jesse says it's before Christ, and that's right. That's the period of the Old Testament. So that first two-thirds of your Bible, that's what he's talking about. That part of God's story is the long ago part. And God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. So, kids, long ago, God spoke to the Israelites by the
prophets.
Great job. Okay. Who are our fathers? Are they talking about just their dad? What do you think? Long ago, our fathers. They're talking about their ancestry, right? Oscar, you know about this. Papa's done some ancestry research, and we can trace the family back long ago, right? It's the same with the Israelites here. The writer is saying, long ago, God spoke to our fathers, our ancestors, through the prophets. Who are the prophets? Can you kids name a couple prophets?
Not
apostles, prophets. So we're talking, remember, in the Old Testament.
Oh, the prophets are the ones that wrote the gospel?
Nope, we're going to work on this at home. But Mira, do you know any Old Testament prophets? Who might he be talking about here?
Moses, I don't know.
Yep.
Genesis.
You're thinking books there, buddy. You're digging yourself a hole. Just hold on, all right? So think Old Testament prophets. Who did God use to speak to the people before? Well, it might be Elijah or Elisha, Moses, David. King David was also a prophet, it says. There's many prophetic books. Jonah was a prophet.
King Colossians.
Not King Colossians. Nahum. All these guys are Old Testament prophets, and it's who God used to speak to the people long ago. Okay? Next slide. Okay, so 2 Peter 1, 21 says, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." So this is just what Mira was mentioning this morning, when she said, well, we don't know the writer of Hebrews, but it was Jesus, right? So it was the Holy Spirit that was prompting them to say what they were saying. He was inspiring them to say what they did. So as we read each book, we realize, oh, there's a different flavor in the way the author's writing this, but it's also inspired by the Holy Spirit. This is God's message through men. Okay, next slide. 1 Peter 1, 10 and 11. We've read through this many times. It's good to have it in our mental toolbox. "Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories." Okay? So again, these Old Testament prophets knew they were writing about the Christ, right? But they didn't know his name was Jesus, right? Or they didn't know exactly when he would come. They knew, though, that they were searching and inquiring carefully what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating. Okay? So this is how God chose to speak through the prophets before. So what I wanted to do is a little exercise in how did the prophets work? Okay? So next slide. What am I describing here? So this is the way the prophets would kind of write. They would write in ways that they were inspired, and they would let that out, but they weren't exactly sure how that would all look, right? So this is just an exercise, right? This is not from the Bible, but if I'm saying it's black as midnight, adorned in white like snow, towers over the weak and trembles at correction, loves to comfort, extremely dangerous, always following, always leading. This is kind of a way, I'm describing something, and when you guys know what it is, it's going to make sense. But as you're reading it here, you're thinking in picture language, right? And you're trying to figure out, okay, what exactly is he saying? What is he describing here? So next, anyone want to guess? Okay, I got a safety slide in here just in case that button clicked. You can go to the next one. It's my dog, Tater. Okay? But what I wanted to do is just show you guys, how did God speak to the prophets long ago? When we read the prophetic books or the Psalms, a lot of times we're reading things in that picture language again, and we're like, wow, what does this have to do with anything, right? We saw that a little bit in the book of Nahum. And we have to kind of dig through that and say, Lord, how are you using this language to speak about the Christ? So, just going back to how I described, just go back to Tater here. I'll read this. So Tater, black as midnight, right? Adorned with white like snow. He towers over the weak. He could, right? He's a pit bull. He could tower over the weak, but yet he trembles before my correction. He loves to comfort. He'll always, if you guys come over, he'll come up and put his head on your lap or whatever. But he could also be extremely dangerous, right? I'm praying that if a intruder came in my house with wrong intentions, that Tater would finally become dangerous. But and I think when I say, Tater, you want to go for a walk, he's following me out the door, right? He's following me wherever I go, but I have him on the leash and he's always ahead of me. So wherever I go, he's following, but yet he's always leading. Does that make sense? So what I'm doing is just describing all these things about Tater, but I'm doing it in a way that gives you a more full picture of who Tater is, rather than just saying, well, he's a black dog with a little white, and he follows me around when I take him for a walk, right? So this is how God spoke through the... What, Misha? Good thing he wasn't here, right? He might be embarrassed. Yeah, so... But I just want to give you guys a picture. When the Lord was speaking through the prophets long ago, he was doing it in that same type of way, where they were getting facts about the Christ or how God's going to redeem or save his people. But it was in a way that they weren't seeing it as clearly as you're seeing the answer here now. Does that make sense, kids?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So God spoke through the prophets in the same way many times and in many ways, it says. So it wasn't that same way every time. Many times and in many ways. So some of the methods God spoke to the prophets came in visions, in dreams, in symbols, etc. We have Moses. God spoke to him through a burning bush, right? That's why we don't just walk outside and expect God to speak to us through a burning bush. I think it only happened once in the Bible, but God can do whatever he wants. He can speak in any way he wants at any time. Elijah, God spoke to him in a still, small voice. Isaiah had a heavenly vision. Hosea heard God through his family crisis, right? God can use all these different ways to speak to his prophets, to his people, and this is how he does. But somehow, all those ways that God was speaking to the prophets in all those different forms, it was all somehow pointing to the Christ. Okay? So as we hear or read the Old Testament, we get pictures and clues of what the Christ might be like. This isn't new ground. We've talked about this over and over the last year, right? We read in Genesis 49 and 2 Samuel 7 that the Christ will be born in the family line of Judah. And then when we get to 2 Samuel, we find out not just Judah, but it narrows down to the family line of David. So even though they didn't know they were speaking of Jesus, per se, they were watching the way God spoke to them in ways where they knew how to look for the Christ. The prophets knew that the Christ would be like a shepherd and would feed his sheep. This is Isaiah 40 or Ezekiel 34. He will be like a servant, Isaiah 42. And it also says in Isaiah 42, the servant will open the eyes of the blind and set the prisoners free. God's using prophetic language in order to speak this. He will suffer and be killed, it says in Isaiah 53. And he would be rescued by God and rule as king forever, Psalm 40 or Psalm 110. So all these ways, as we're seeing this, when Jesus comes, oh, he's born of the family line of Judah and a family line of David. He is healing the blind and setting prisoners free. He is feeding his sheep, the multitude on the hill with the fishes and the loaves. Jesus is fulfilling all these prophecies just as the prophets predicted he would, because they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. So next slide. But in these last days. So something's changing here. God's not speaking to the prophets like long ago. In these last days, what does this mean? Jesse, you want to take a stab at what these last days are? If the old days were the Old Testament, these last days are from the New Testament to today.
Specifically,
after Pentecost. Right. Yep. So, and the apostles spoke of the fulfillment of the last days when Jesus left and the Spirit came. So Acts 2, 16 and 17, this is what Peter says, but this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. You guys remember that? When Pentecost came? So Peter was saying, we're recognizing this as being fulfilled now. We're no longer in those long ago days. It's the last days now. And we're taking what God spoke through the prophets and we're reading that as God is fulfilling that. So from that point till today and until Jesus comes back, we are in the final phase of history. It started at the first coming of Jesus and it comes till his second coming. We are in the last days. And what does it say? In these last days, God has spoken to us by his kids. Who's God spoken to us through?
His Son.
His Son. Great job. Okay, so next slide. Was that the next slide? Okay. Yes, it is. Okay, so God spoke again, but he's doing it differently. It was the prophets, now the Son. So again, I just wanted to talk about, if you guys had never met me before, but you wanted to know me, one person that I have been in contact that you could talk to is Christian. He's in charge of the Roseville Parks. Okay? I have emailed him on occasion about renting the building or different things, scheduling or whatever. Could he tell you a little bit about me? Right? He's interacted with me enough. He knows me a little bit. Or maybe you might talk to someone at my part-time driving job. They know me a little bit. And what they could do is say, well, yeah, Joey, he's pretty kind. We talk maybe once every few months or so, like something like that. And you might get a little picture of who I am. But if you really wanted to know me, who's a good person you could talk to? Oscar, right? Look at this picture. Would you guys agree that we look alike? Okay? Oscar looks like me. He talks like me. The kid talks about animals a lot. Don't you, Oscar? When I was your age, I talked about animals a lot. He tells corny jokes. He can describe his father in detail. He knows his father better than others because he's seen me and has a relationship with me. You guys see where I'm going with this? So just like the prophets of old, they saw things in visions or dreams or how God revealed it, and they could describe what they were seeing or experiencing. But if we truly want to know the Father, how does he speak best? Through his Son. Okay? So long ago the prophets spoke, or the God spoke through the prophets, but in these last days God has spoken to us by his Son. Jesus has seen the Father face to face. So next slide. And what we're going to read here, I'm going to read verses 1 through 3 again. We're going to read about God's perfect spokesman. So long ago, at many times and in many ways. God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So, kids, as we go forward here, you have a chance to fill out those each one of those things, how the writer describes God's Son. So Don's ahead of me here. This is good. How does the writer of Hebrews describe God's Son? First of all, he is the heir of all things. Maybe next slide. There we go. Okay. So, the Son is the heir of all things. And what I did, I took other supporting scriptures just so we can see. And there's more, right? But we're only using one or two of each one of these to get a more complete picture. So Jesus says, all that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Jesus is saying, everything God has, it's mine. I'm the heir. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. This was at the Great Commission. Jesus is saying, everything you see, I'm the heir of that. The Father has given it to me. Next slide. Through whom he also created the world. So John 1, 1 through 3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything that was made. Okay? In Colossians 1, 16, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Who's the focal point here? It's the Son, right? Everything was created by him, through him, for him. Next slide. He's the radiance of God's glory. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is John 1, 14. Right? If you took the glory of God and put it in a person, we see it in his Son, Jesus. Next slide. The exact imprint of God's nature. So, we all know we have different fingerprints than everyone else, right? If God's fingerprint was imprinted, what would we see? We would see the Son. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, this is Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and that is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Right? So if God's fingerprint was a person, we would see it in Jesus. Just as Oscar looks like me, you can tell, oh, this is Joey's son. Jesus, you see the Father in the nature of Jesus. Okay? Next slide. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. So Colossians 1, 17 says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So have you guys, is it the Greek god Atlas? He holds the world up on his shoulder, right? It's not like that. Jesus is actively sustaining everything in the world. And we need to listen to what he speaks. There's power in his words. And we see this as we read the gospel, don't we? The power of Jesus' words, he can change nature itself. He heals sickness. He forgives people's sins. He casts out demons. He calms a storm. He raises people from the dead. Everything in the world and in nature is being sustained through the word of his power. So next slide. And what did he do? after making purification for sins. This is clear reference to the cross. The writer of Hebrews is saying, you guys need to understand what this Son has done in order to understand Him and what He's doing. He is our Redeemer, and we see this more as we study Hebrews. And kids, what did the Son do after making purification for sins? He sat down, right? Okay, so next slide. Sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on High. Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers, having been subjected to Him. Think about it. In the tabernacle, in the temple, what did God have the priests doing? They were constantly doing things, weren't they? The work was not completed. What did the Son do after He made purification for sins? Once He became the high priest, what did He do? He sat down. Well, why isn't He busy anymore? Because the work's done. Isn't that good news? He can sit down because the work has been completed. Where did He go after His resurrection from the dead? He went up to be with the Father. He sat at the Father's right-hand side, the place of honor. You did it, Son. You can sit down. The work is done, and you can sit with Me in glory. And it's not only the seat of honor, but it is where He reigns from. Now we're going to look at that more next week. So again, we're going to read through these verses again. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on High. And you guys notice, what's the punctuation after that? It's a comma, right? This sentence does not end here. This is where I'm ending today, but it does not end here. There's more. We get to hear more of the Son and how He is better than something else. Okay? So, last slide. What's our application, right? I was thinking this, okay, Lord, how do we apply this? This is all good stuff. It builds our theology, right? But how do I apply this? And just as I prayed earlier, this excites me because we have a God who speaks. Okay? He speaks His will to mankind. We could have a God who just says, here, I've created you, now figure it out. That's what the theist would say, right? I've created you, now just we'll let things go and you guys kind of figure it out and see what happens. But we have a good God who wants to reveal Himself to us. He speaks through people. He spoke through His prophets, and now He speaks through the Son, who is the heir of all things, the Creator, the radiance of God's glory, the image of God, our Sustainer, our Redeemer, and our King. This should get us excited, right? This is how He's speaking to us. This Son who's done all these amazing things, who holds the universe by the word of His power, He speaks to us. Who am I to hear that, right? But yet He wants to reveal Himself to us through His Son. So what is our perception of Jesus, right? As we talk to other people, we might ask them, you know, what do you think of Jesus? Well, He was a good teacher, or He was a good model, or He was a prophet, or whatever it might be. But we believe all these things we just read about in Hebrews. He's the Son of God who reveals Himself to us. He continues to reveal Himself to us through His Word. Will we listen to the words of God's perfect spokesman? Do we take what it says in here seriously? This is how He reveals Himself to us. The Son has spoken. He continues to speak through this. So I just wanted to end with something I read in a commentary here. I thought this was really good. Christ is not just the Word, the Heir, and the Creator. but the light, the nature, and the revelation of God the Father himself. He cannot be merely equated to being a prophet or messenger of God, but must be accepted as co-equally God. The qualifying difference in Christ from all others given for our benefit to confirm his identity and authority is the work of the cross. God's perfect spokesman spoke so clearly through the cross. Amen? Let's pray.